This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So on the set visit of Thor, or on Thor, back then, you knew you were going to be a part of this movie. So could you sort of talk about what it's like to finally be on the Avengers?
It's pretty spectacular. it's a funny one because, you know, I'm a piece of a huge jigsaw puzzle that really Kevin Feige is in charge of. And I suspected that I might be in the Avengers. I didn't know in what way, in what capacity, to what extent, how big my role was going to be, really until I read a draft that Joss Whedon had written and printed and sent out in sort of February, March of this year. But it feels great. Honestly, it feels it's so exciting. It's so rare as an actor to be allowed the chance to revisit a role, to go back to somebody, to a character that you've already built and lived inside and understood, and to take it further to another stage. So that's a huge privilege.
When Joss talked to you about coming back, what was his explanation to you for why Loki was the perfect villain for this movie? Did he kind of talk to you about why he chose Loki?
Well, I think Joss loves Loki because he loves complexity. And the great thing about Loki is that there's almost no ceiling to his complexity as a character. He is a shapeshifter. He's intelligent. He has... strategic gifts, but he's also has reservoirs of pain. And I think when you've got so much colour and so much heroism in a film like The Avengers, it needs to be balanced by a degree of pain, I think. And Joss and I sat down for a long time, and at the end of Thor, and he said, tell me everything about living inside this man for 6 months. Tell me what makes him tick, what keeps him up at night, what are the nightmares of his soul. And so we just sort of shared all our ideas from Norse mythology, from the comics, from, you know, things that I developed with Ken Branagh. And he loved it. He loved all those ideas. He loved all of Loki's damage, his kind of... that somewhere at the bottom of Loki's credentials as a bad guy, he is a searching spirit. He is a damaged soul searching for the answers to something. Why he exists, what his role is in this universe, that he isn't just somebody who's evil for the sake of being evil. He has sort of complicated reasons for that. So I think in terms of how the Avengers come together, you know, you have to, when you're making a film, there are so many superhero films, there are so many films about the end of the world, and you have to think, how can we make this distinctive and unique? And I think what Joss has done so brilliantly is he's made it about the healing power of being part of a team. So each of the Avengers, Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, the Hulk, Hawkeye, Black Widow, Nick Fury, have their own individual pain. Loki, too, has his own pain. And somehow, by bringing them together, their pain is eased by being part of a team, which I think is a unique selling point to this particular film.
Until the end of Thor, we didn't really see Loki on Earth at all. When we saw him on Earth at the very end of Thor, he was kind of like in the shadows and kind of not really...
Saw him on Earth when he comes to visit his brother and tells him he can't come home.
Briefly, but he's always kind of like projection. You don't really get the question he's actually there. You get the question he's kind of projecting himself down there. I was curious. I mean, when Loki comes to Earth, is he able to walk around in the kind of garish things? Or is he kind of do you have a more human outfit you can wear to get around? So, or are you kind of more out in the shadows?
I think Loki doesn't particularly care what the humans think of his dress sense. let's remember, he's a god, or he's at least an advanced being visiting these deeply inferior beings called humans. And so I think he, like in a way, when Thor first comes to Earth, Loki shares an arrogance about being superior to them. Thor is very quick to, you know, the journey of Thor for that character is to learn humility. So by the end of Thor, Thor, as played by brilliantly by Chris Hemsworth, has respect and affection and love for the human race. I'm not sure that Loki has developed that yet.
How different is Loki in this film from what he is in Thor? Because I think he kind of comes into his own power at the end of Thor, and is he just a very angry and bitter in this film, more so than Thor?
Well, I think... well, what can I say here? As in, I'm like, I swear to you, like, in that building over there, there is sort of sniper rifles.
I'm sure.
Okay. I think at the what was interesting about the journey of Loki and Thor is that he went from second string and damaged prince to being god of mischief and god of evil. I think. There is, at the beginning of Avengers, or somewhere between the end of Thor and the beginning of Avengers, Loki has been to, you know, the Marvel equivalent of the seventh circle of hell. At the end of Thor, you see him let go. He lets go of the spear. He lets go of the need. He lets go of Asgard. He lets go of the need for his brother and his father's affection and approval. And he's got bigger plans now. I think there's a degree of self-possession in Loki in the Avengers, which was missing in Thor. As in, the Loki of Thor is a confused, damaged prince. And the Loki of Avengers is somebody who understands his own power, understands his own anger, and is able to probably, I'd say, suppress it. So you see, in a way, he's more mischievous, I would say. You know, Loki's the god of mischief, and I think probably the way Joss has written Loki in the Avengers is he is a mischief, and he's someone whose actions are very, very difficult for the seven or eight, if you include Nick Fury, I can't remember how many. But his actions are difficult for the Avengers to pin down.
I'm sorry.
No, that's kind of... Does that answer your question?
Yeah,
is he different?
Definitely.
Yeah.
You had mentioned different goals for Loki. Without getting too far into specifics, what would his goals be? With whatever he's doing here on Earth, what do you think is motivating those goals, and what is his end goal for doing what he's doing? What is he getting out of it?
I think, like all people who... I think it's still at least... I don't want to say that it's disconnected from the Loki of Thor. So I think in Thor, Loki has a deep need for approval and status, as in Loki learning that he was Laufey's bastard son, Loki learning that he had no place in Asgard, that he felt unloved and abandoned and alone, abandoned by Odin and that whole family. I think that's still connected to his motivation in the Avengers, and I think like any completely delusional fascist in the course of human history, it comes from a lack of self-esteem. So he's just going about the wrong ways of giving himself power. I mean, that's what all the villains of the history of the human race have ever really wanted, is to accumulate power. And somehow, in the delusion that power will give them self-respect, which it won't, but that Loki thinks that having power will earn him approval and self-respect, I think, I guess.
Can Loki be redeemed?
I think so, yeah. I mean, the thing about Loki is he's still... I'm trying not to spill into sort of some cackling, two-dimensional villain. I'm trying to retain all of the complexity that I worked so hard on in the first film. It'd be such a shame to play someone, you know, who was just all... evil. So I think there is obviously at the bottom of him still redemption possible. I just think it's better hidden. He's harder to. It's he's a lot harder spiritually. He's less vulnerable, and he's more powerful. He's infinitely more dangerous and more self-possessed. So he's a tough nut to crack.
Does Loki in Avengers sort of possibly bite off more than he can chew, causing too many problems to the point where he might have to merge or get with the Avengers.
He might have to what?
He might have to work with the Avengers to possibly stop his own devious plan because it's so evil.
Well, no. I think he's so smart that he's thought of every... You know, I've referred to him before as a kind of a chess master, and I think he's 10 steps ahead of the game. And he plays everyone so beautifully. He plays them better than they know, I think. But there is a flaw at the bottom of him, which is that he's, you know, motivated entirely out of selfishness and as I said, a need for approval, I think. So I think that's probably ultimately his flaw.
Who's been the best, the most fun to work with? Because you've worked with Hemsworth, with Thor.
Yeah.
Who have you had a lot of fun?
Well, I find it's really great, you know. What Joss has given me as a gift is a bunch of two-handers with everyone. So I have... You know, I have a big scene with Chris Hemsworth. I have a big scene with Scarlett, a big scene with Robert, a big scene with Sam Jackson, a big scene with Chris Evans, and a big scene with Mark Ruffalo. So it's, without giving too much away, there is a wonderful, it's like Loki is pitted individually against the different skills and superpowers of all of these characters. So, you know, my scene with Chris is a continuation of all of that brotherly complication. I loved playing my scene with Scarlet, which we've already shot, because Black Widow is sneaky, underhand. You know, she lurks in the shadows. She's smart and clever and duplicitous, and she's hard to trust, and all those adjectives could be used to describe Loki. So the scene that between Loki and Black Widow is one where they recognize each other, and so I love doing that. And Scarlett was, we played a good round on that one. And Sam too is fantastic. You know, everybody's great. It's just the chemistry is different with everyone, and that's the joy of acting, is that you really don't know how it's going to go until you turn up. I've always said before, it's like playing tennis. You can't plan for the match you're going to play until you actually are up against your opponent, and what happens happens, and that's the joy of being on set.
I was curious how they crowded the cube, and they've also hinted at the Infinity Gauntlet plays into this, because obviously Loki's a god, doesn't really need those kind of things. So in the comics, they've always been like the Red Skull or something like that, always trying to use those things, and I feel like Loki doesn't really need that. And also, do you get very physical, or when you have...
Wait, I've lost you, man. You have to go back, sorry.
The Cosmic Cube,
yes.
Loki doesn't seem that he would need them, because he's a god.
Sure.
But did you actually get very physical? Because you were working a little physical with Thor at the end of the last movie as well.
Yeah.
You get the physical stick here, too.
Okay. Yeah. It's a big action film, and I'm playing the villain, and there need to be fights. So,
but you're Loki. You can create things and do things.
I can, but at the same time, I love doing all the fight stuff. It's and I think what's so thrilling about the fights that we've already done, shot and choreographed, is that the R.A. Rondell, who's the stunt director on this, is he's really embraced the different physicalities and different superpowers of every character. So, you know, obviously Chris Hemsworth has his hammer and the size of his arms. Chris Evans has his shield, and Scarlett, as Black Widow, has been doing a lot of wushu stuff, and you know, Robert's got the suit, and Loki has his intelligence and his ability to kind of disappear and reappear, and his staff. So I think the fights will be really thrilling to watch. And, you know, he's unpredictable. Thor is more predictable as a fighter, but it doesn't mean he's any less spectacular. And as far as the Cosmic Cube is concerned, there's certainly a continuity, I think, which is being taken from anyone who's seen that tag scene at the end of Thor.
Right.
Anyone who will see Captain America, and then it's taken a bit further in this film, but I don't want to spoil it for anyone. So,
talking with Joss about, you know, sort of the mythology of the character, and specifically the Norse mythology, one movie on from Thor, how much is sort of the actual mythology and sort of
you know, the historical version of this character? How much is he part of what you're doing now?
Well, it's difficult because obviously Marvel have this titanic task on their hands of blending the different elements of their own universe together. So, really, whatever we built in Thor is really what we're running with in this one. It's not like we're suddenly going back to, you know, golden apples and Loki turning into a horse and other characters from the Norse pantheon. Still no sign of Boar and Balder and all these other characters. I think, you know, it's enough to have 7 or 8 principal characters in the Avengers, which is going to be a 2-hour picture. So I think if we ever expand deeper into the Norse myths, that will have to come later in any Thor sequels, about which I know genuinely know absolutely nothing. So,
do you expect, though, that you will be in the Thor sequel?
I honestly don't know. I know I've been a little bit like backward and coming forward before, but I truly don't know. Like, I don't know if Chris is doing one, and I honestly don't know.
Does the Avengers kind of set up for more Avengers movies? Like, does it feel that way at the end of the film?
You hope so. I mean, it's so exciting. The first time I read the script, I was, and it's a rare thing when you kind of read a script in one sitting and you haven't looked at the watch and you haven't gone to make a cup of tea. And I got to the last page and I thought to myself, that is amazing. How Joss had managed to reintroduce characters that we all loved, make them seem fresh, seem new, and then have them all together without weighting any particular character more than the other. It was really, as just a feat of writing, I was so impressed. And if they keep Joss on board for another one, you know, he's, in terms of what he's done with the blend, I think, yeah, let's hope there's more.
What can we expect in terms of powers from Loki compared with what we saw in Thor? Are we going to see more shape-shifting, or are we going to see...
I think it's sort of like, I think he takes what he's learnt in Thor a bit further, you know? There's a degree of disappearing and reappearing. There's a degree of mind control. And there's a degree of self-duplication, which throws a spanner in the works of people who think he's more predictable than that.
You talked about the team aspect that the Avengers have and what it does for them.
Sorry,
does Loki have something like that? Does he need something like that heals him?
He probably does, but if he were healed or healable, he'd be part of the team. So I think he's out on a limb and on his own. But the other thing is, and I love that Joss hasn't in any way diluted this fact or watered it down, is that Thor and Loki are gods on Earth. And no matter how powerful the super soldiers or the scientists of the team, you know, the Avengers team, they're dealing with immortals. So Loki's power really is something to contend with. And what I loved about what Marvel decided to do with Thor is they could have sent Loki to Earth instead of the Destroyer. Do you know what I mean? It could have been Loki versus Thor down there. But they've actually saved it, in a way, for the Avengers. So actually you see how powerful Loki could be when he gets down among the humans.
So we see Thor versus Loki in the Avengers.
Yes, you do.
Are you able to find humor in Loki?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that's definitely something that that's been taken on by Joss too. I think the discovery of the humor of what happens when an Asgardian walks among mortals with Chris is something that he's expanded to Loki too. And also Loki's enjoying himself a lot more in this one. Like, he's really he's just having a really good time. We talked a lot about, Joss and I talked about James Mason, how James Mason always seemed to be having a really good time, even when he was playing the bad guy.
In Thor, you were fighting, or Loki was fighting, you know, Thor, Odin,
people who, even though they were against him, still very much cared for him,
yeah,
loved him.
Yeah.
But in the Avengers, that isn't really the case. So does that present more of a challenge to him? In fact, they find these characters who don't understand him and are just more centered on stopping him, destroying him?
Well, it's complicated because Thor is also part of that team. So sometimes you find Thor might be saying, you know, he's trying to convince the Avengers that maybe Loki's not as bad as they all think he is. So Thor, I think, believes that Loki is still redeemable. What was the question? Is it harder to fight people who hate you?
Do the Avengers pose more of a challenge for Loki than Thor did in Thor, simply because they don't have the interest that Thor had in seeing him redeemed? They just want him gone.
Do the Avengers pose more of a challenge for Loki? Probably. But then Loki poses more of a challenge for the Avengers too. Loki is a more complex, more dangerous villain than, say, either villains played by Jeff Bridges and Mickey Rourke in the Iron Man films, or Tim Roth in the Hulk. I think the fact that he's an Asgardian makes him just more dangerous. I guess.
What's Charles been like working with opposed to Kenneth Branagh? Because he obviously comes from very different backgrounds.
What's interesting about Joss is actually his appreciation for British theatre culture and for the training of British actors is. I say this just because that's I suppose the angle I take is huge and often, you know, when the camera team are changing a lens or in the middle of a relight, Joss and I will be talking about, you know, Ian McKellen's fantastic performance in An Enemy of the People at the National Theatre in 1997. He works with British actors all the time in all of his TV shows. He's talked about the choice he had to make at college between theatre and film, and he almost became a theatre director. So I think, you know, I suppose Joss's work seems like he's catered to a particular thing, but actually, as a fan of the art of acting and the art of filmmaking and theatre and storytelling, his tastes are hugely broad. It's really interesting, actually. Like on the Thor junket, everyone was like, "Wow, Kenneth Branagh directing a superhero movie." In my experience, Ken loves superhero movies. Like, it's not. Don't be fooled by the Shakespeare stuff. And you know, it's like Joss is. Conversely, Joss is a huge fan of Shakespeare. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like he's a brilliant writer and a brilliant storyteller. Of course, they are different in their methods. You know. They're different people, and I like that though. And Joss is—I'm having a really good time working with him. He's so fun, and I love his references. And whenever he comes back from watching the monitor with a big grin on his face, and you know, he's a worker, and he likes honing things. And yeah.
You have many people thought your performance in Thor was excellent. I think most of us would agree that it was. You know, it's very rare to get a great villain.
Oh, thanks, man.
And so I'm curious how much added pressure, I'm sure you read the reviews, I'm sure you noticed people said positive things, how much added pressure does that add to this film and sort of like doing a repeat, you know, exceeding or doing as good as you did in the first one?
That's a good question. I honestly try not to think about it in a way. I think if you can't think in terms, you really can't think in terms of the end result, creatively. Like, I don't know. I think in every art form, I think if you're a composer and you think I've got to sit down and write a better song than the last one, or if you're an artist or a painter and you think my painting has to be better than the last. I guess it's like what they call the difficult second album, isn't it? But I don't feel it, to be honest, and I think it's because. I'm just thinking of the character. I'm just thinking of the story, and trying to do the best I can. And that's like, even outside of Marvel, whenever I'm working on a film, I try not to think about what people are going to think of it once it's made, because then it makes you self-conscious and makes you self-aware. You just have to be thinking, who is this guy? What does he want? It's my responsibility to play this guy, and his version of the truth is my responsibility. And what other people see in that representation is up to them. I didn't know people were going to like what I did in Thor as Loki, and it's nice that they liked it, I guess. But it's that thing of, you know, to thine own self be true, and it must follow as night the day. Thou canst not then be false to any man.
Thomas, the elephant in the room, what do you do when you get your hands on that cosmic cube?
Well, I'll quote Sam Jackson at the end of Thor. He says, Stellan says to Sam, or Stellan's Eric Selvig says to Sam's Nick Fury, what is it? And Nick Fury replies, power, Doctor. Maybe unlimited power. If we can figure out how to tap it. Oh, no, that's right. Power, Doctor. If we can figure out how to tap it, maybe unlimited power. So I think that's what attracts Loki to the cube.
We have time for one last question.
Hypothetically speaking, what have you borrowed from the set? I've asked this question before, and I'll continue asking.
Hypothetically speaking, what have I borrowed?
Yes, because obviously you cannot take anything. But have you borrowed anything from the Thor set or Avengers set? Maybe it's in your apartment, hotel?
If I borrowed anything, have I or no. If I? I haven't borrowed anything. I think if I started to borrow stuff, in inverted commas, for which I think the word in English is steal, I would probably lose my job. But they've been, Marvel have been sweet to me. They've given me sort of like action figures. For my birthday, they sent me the scarf that Loki wears in the trailer scene in Thor. Remember, he turns up in a nice suit and an overcoat.
Oh, yeah.
He's wearing a scarf, and so I'm in possession of my Loki scarf.
Do you have the helmet?
I don't. I think I broke all my helmets, actually. And I can't have done, because there was one in the Comic-Con. But they were... Because in that final battle scene, which is one of the last things we shot when we were doing Thor, every time I landed on the Rainbow Bridge, I kept smashing the horns against the bridge, and the bridge always won, basically.
Okay, great, thanks, Tom.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.